The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. It's Thursday, and we have a little special something-something for you today. It's a First Take, Her Take over. You know what it is. I'm Charlie Arnold. We got the ladies, also my co-hosts on the First Take, Her Take podcast joining us today. Kimberly A. Martin, Shanae Ogumike, they'll be with us in just a second. Also, Brian Windhorst going to be with us to kick off the show because you know we got to start with the perfection that is Kevin Durant. He came back last night after being gone for 23 games. Did not miss a step. So here's KD after the game.
I expected to come out here and play the way I played. I wasn't trying to ease into the game. I just wanted to go out there and dive right into the action. I mean, the game was already fast-paced already, so from watching it from the bench, I knew exactly how I needed to approach it. So, but it was pretty cool coming off the bench, I can't lie. But it was also good to play in front of the fans as well.
All righty, he is ready to go. He looked amazing last night. Shanae and Brian here with us right now. Shanae, I want to start with you. You think a healthy Nets team is a lock to win the title this year?
Okay, Charlie. Yeah, shout out to First Take, Her Take over. Let's go. And hey,
yeah.
Brian. Now, on paper, okay, the Brooklyn Nets, based on what we saw yesterday, my goodness, good Lord, they are a cheat code. I mean, it started with Blake Griffin. You saw that signature bounce back on the dunk. You had LaMarcus Aldridge with his beautiful turnaround fadeaway. And the main event, Kevin Durant finally back. It's just not fair. He was a plus 22 off of the bench, 17 points, you know, in 19 minutes. This could be one of the best offenses we'll ever witness in NBA history. But, however, I am not there yet for two reasons to say that they are a lock. One, health. The big three have only played seven games together still, and they only have 20 games left, I believe, to get it right. And it's such a small sample size to get prepared for really a title run. And two, let's talk about defense, because right now the Nets are 25th. In defensive rating. No team has ever won a championship with a defensive rating that low. I know they're loading up on offense, but defense, when the game slows down in the playoffs, will be crucial. And their defense will absolutely be tested because this is the best version of what? The Philadelphia 76ers that we're seeing right now. This is the best version of the Milwaukee Bucks after they locked down Giannis, Chris Middleton, and now Drew Holiday. The Lakers are the defending champs, and there are a number of young teams making statements like the Jazz and the Suns. So when all the Brooklyn Nets players, they finally suit up, walk out there on the floor, and work to address their biggest question, their defense, that's when I'll say they're going to be a lock. But until then, we'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, I don't know if you can say anything in the NBA is ever a lock, but this is one of the most impressive teams I've seen in my 18 years covering the NBA.
Wow.
I've never seen a team that has this type of offensive firepower. They are just absolutely so redundant. And, you know, when Kevin said that he was expecting to play well, I understand that because he's come back from other big injuries in his career and has played great immediately out of the gates. His game is a game that's kind of timeless. You don't have to be in great rhythm when you have an incredible offensive skill set like that. And Shanae, I agree. Their defense is a concern. But, you know, they played pretty good defense last night. Nobody's been able to slow Zion down for months. They held Zion down. And I don't think that they're going to win games with their defense. But with their overall firepower, I think it's going to be really hard to beat them 4 out of 7. You may get them on a night where maybe one of their guys is dinged up. Or you may get them on a night when their defense collapses or their older guys don't play so well. But I don't think you're going to do it 4 out of 7. And that's the name of the game in the NBA playoffs.
And And Brian, this is where I want to sort of bring up another factor that people might be sleeping on. While we really love the offensive firepower that the Brooklyn Nets have, or just offense period with the way the game is officiated, I remember when I was playing, the refs had this meeting in the preseason, and they're like, all right, you can touch the defender once. We called it the hot stove rule. But after that, you can't touch him again. And guess what? Now the numbers have gone up with shooting. But defense is really interesting, and maybe it's the Final Four, the national championship carryover that I'm seeing with defense and defenses winning championships in the collegiate level. But really, the Lakers, people sleep on the fact that the Lakers have the number one defensive rating right now in the NBA, that the Utah Jazz, also atop an elite defensive team. A lot of the top teams in the NBA apart, even the Philadelphia 76ers, apart from the, you know, the offense, the top defensive teams in the NBA, they're doing it on both ends. And so when you look at that aspect of the game, Brian, do you think that this is the Lakers making a move to get Andre Drummond, a guy that averages, what, like 13 rebounds a game, now bolstering that already number one overall defense in the Lakers? I see the Lakers making a play at defense, knowing that Brooklyn is set up historically for offense.
This is going to be a test of history here, because historically you are correct. You have to be about a top 10 or 11 defensive team to be an NBA champion. The record speaks for itself. But we are playing in a season where we are seeing historically off-the-charts offense. 7 or 8 of the top 10 offensive seasons by team in NBA history are happening right now. I scan the box scores every single night, guys, and every single night there are teams that are shooting 53%, 54% and losing. There are some teams whose records, when they shoot 50% or better, are around 500. In the past, you know, you shot 50% in a game, that means you're almost going to win probably 85% of the time. And so the question is, when we get to the postseason, when we know you can prepare, I mean, some of these teams have had single-digit practices for the entire season to this point, since the year started. When in the postseason you can actually practice and game plan in between games, will we see a return to normalcy? The Lakers better hope so, because I don't think the Lakers offensively, which is what their weakness is, you're right, their defense is spectacular, but they can't bring it every night offensively. I don't think they can do it 4 out of 7 times. So they're going to have to hope that things return to what we normally see in the postseason, because if they don't, this is set for the Nets to win it.
So, Wendy, let's talk about the offensive power of the Nets. It's off the charts, but are you at all concerned about the chemistry between the big three? Because as we know, they've only played 7 games together this season so far.
The only chemistry I'm worried about is Kyrie and James Harden. I'm not worried about Kevin Durant at all. He has shown repeatedly that he can play with different lineups in different roles. Durant is one of the most malleable superstars I've ever seen. You know, LeBron, because of all the guys he can defend, maybe a little bit more, but Durant can be so many different things to so many different teammates. I'm not worried about him at all. And I think their other guys, their older guys, are there knowing they're playing a role. The whole thing has been, can Harden and Kyrie coexist together, sharing the ball? And right out of the gates, I think Kyrie yielded to Harden. I think it was like the second or third week they were playing together, Kyrie said, James, you take the ball, you run our offense, I'll play off the ball, which was no small thing for him to say. Even though that makes sense, because you look at the way Harden's playing, you say, heck yeah, this guy's an MVP as a point guard. Kyrie left LeBron James because he didn't want to play that way. And so as soon as I saw that, now granted, it's tenuous because Kyrie tends to change his opinion and mood on things at times. But once I saw that, I said, look out for these Nets. And Kyrie and Harden do have quite a bit of time together so far.
You know, I actually think that a lot of people are worried about something, that relationship, Kyrie Irving and James Harden, when they need not to be, because obviously these guys have unique personas that sort of make them polarizing figures. James Harden, with how he plays the game, well, he settled that by, you know, taking a backseat and figuring out whatever role this team, the Brooklyn Nets, needs to win. Kyrie Irving, maybe for things not necessarily tied to the basketball court, but anytime something needs to get done, they find a way. Kyrie Irving, I think at the start of the season, it was clear that he wanted to be the guy, that this was his team. And we saw through his performances. The thing that actually stood out to me the most, Brian, is actually when James Harden goes out because of the hamstring, what does Kyrie do to respond? Drops 40 points and knows to flip the switch and take over. These guys have each other's backs in a way that we don't really acknowledge all the time in the media. And I think that's what makes them special, sort of the chip on the shoulder mentality that each and every one of them carry. So I'm not necessarily worried about, you know, the personalities meshing. I think health, number one, first and foremost, will be the only thing that deters this team from a title.
Yeah, Chinee, I think you're absolutely right, because according to BPI, with a healthy big three, the Nets have a 22% chance to win the title. The only team with better odds as of this point are the Jazz with 24.5%. But let's talk about the Jazz, shall we? Because these West Coast games are killing my sleep schedule, but they're so good that you kind of have to stay up for them. Last night was that case, an overtime thriller between the top two seeds in the West. The Suns besting the Jazz 117 to 113. And it was Devin Booker's 7 points in the extra period that made the difference. He had 35 points. Meanwhile, Donovan Mitchell finished with 41. Okay, Chinee, who is the better player right now? Is it Devin Booker or is it Donovan Mitchell?
I can save you, Charlie. You need sleep. Come to the West Coast. The games start.
I would love to. When do I get the invite? You and Stephen A. on the West Coast having a good time. You leave me here in New York.
I know. We got you, girl. You're my girl. So, of course, I always got a room for you out here. But, you know, watching these games were great. We finally had an NBA night that we really deserved and are excited as we build momentum towards the playoffs. And now, both Donovan Mitchell and Devin Booker, I feel like they knew that we were going to do this. I feel like they knew that we were going to debate this performance because they both showed out. Both guys shot the ball over 30 times. Both are two-time All-Stars. Both are 24-ish years old. And right now, I think it's really easy to argue that the Phoenix Suns are surging. It's apparent. And a lot of that is due to Chris Paul's leadership. And look, Devin Booker, do not mince my words. Devin Booker is a bucket. But from a team perspective, I know that they just took a loss, but the Utah Jazz have been the real deal this entire season. And the more complete player right now, probably because he has to carry that role, is Donovan Mitchell, just because he's a combination of everything you need right now in the NBA, scoring, moving the ball as a point guard. I mean, his athleticism, one of the most athletic players in the league under the rim, but then obviously he can dunk over the rim, working to become a better defender. The Utah Jazz are the only team, I believe, that's been top five in both offensive and defensive rating this entire season. And that'll shock a lot of people. And I'll say this, it really moved me in a different direction when Steve Kerr played them a while back and said, hey, this team, the Utah Jazz, reminds me of my team a couple years ago, talking about the Warriors, how they got it done as a team defensively from that perspective, but then also just the amount of threes. I think they lead the NBA in made threes. So overall, this is a solid team. Donovan Mitchell is a complete player, and I think that's why you're seeing them atop of the NBA in the standings.
Yes, using the word better makes it tough because you have to define when you want them, how you're evaluating them. So when I talk to a couple of scouts about this question, they say, look, on a night in April, do I think that Donovan Mitchell is maybe better to have a chance to win? Yeah. But what about in a playoff series? And the thing that scouts like about Booker versus Mitchell is he's just bigger. He's 6'5", 6'6", and that makes it a little bit easier for him to create his own shot. Donovan is spectacular with his footwork, and he's developed his three-point shot. In fact, Donovan actually shoots the three quite a few percentage points better than Booker does, which I don't think any of us would have expected 2 years ago. But in the end of playoff games, when you need to get that shot creation, Donovan has to work so hard. Now, granted, he has shown he can work hard and deliver it. But Booker's size and his little bit more flexibility on defense, I think, might give him a little bit of an edge. But, boy, I'm nervous saying that because I saw how Donovan played in the playoffs last year. He put together a couple of stunning performances, and I feel like he's got more of that in the future. And, you know, he's got some more playoff experience than Booker has. That's the big thing about the Suns. That's why Chris Paul is so big for them. None of their core players outside Chris Paul and Jay Crowder have stepped on a playoff basketball court yet. And so that's going to be a really important thing. How does Booker handle that postseason pressure? Because he's got the package to be a guy who can win a team a playoff series.
Yeah, I think it's interesting because when you compare these two players, they have different strengths, but both are at very similar points in their career with opportunities to prove themselves, Brian. Now, of course, when it comes to the final shot, we all know most people will want to see Devin Booker with that. We saw that in the bubble with their run that has carried over to this season. But one thing I will say about Donovan is that the weight that he's had to carry, he's had to lead this team offensively as the primary go-to. And he's been forced to improve his game, as you mentioned, with a three-point shot. He has taken that next step forward from last year to this year in a way that Devin Booker, you know, playing with Chris Paul, sort of has the luxury of being able to, you know, spot up and shoot. And now they have their own playoff run. It's been fun. I think it's tough to compare both. They have very different strengths, but overall, both guys are doing exactly what they need to do for their teams to be successful.
Well, last night, Devin Booker did a lot, and he did it with the help of Chris Paul. The two combined for 64 points. That's the highest total that they've combined for as teammates this season. So who knows? Maybe we're getting a little preview of what we can expect in the Western Conference Finals. Who thought we'd be saying that, right? All right, Wendy, thank you so much for your time. We always appreciate you.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Jalen Hurts entering his second season in the league, and along with starting under center for the Eagles, he has quickly earned the respect of his teammates, including a guy who shares his name and draft class, wide receiver Jalen Reagor. So here's Reagor talking about his quarterback this week on the Lefko Show.
All I said is that he's a winner. He's a very versatile quarterback. He's smart. And, like, you know, like you said, just the aura of him. Like, he, you know, he comes in the huddle, demands the huddle, and he didn't let him being a rookie, like, dictate how he play or how he, his swagger. He keeps the same swagger.
All right, now we have another one of Hurts' teammates joining a Super Bowl champion offensive tackle, Lane Johnson, in the house on behalf of Microband 24. Lane, thanks for joining the ladies today on First Take. We appreciate you.
Thanks for having me.
All right, so let's talk about your quarterback. You two actually have a lot in common, probably people aren't aware about. You both went to Oklahoma, and actually you played quarterback at JUCO before switching to tackle. So let's talk about your quarterback. What are your expectations for Jalen Hurts this season?
The only difference between me and Jalen is my arms are just a little bit stronger. He just has a little bit more accuracy. But, man, we're excited to have him. I think you saw a glimpse of what he can do the 4 or 5-game stretch that he was in. Obviously, versatile with his legs, can do things outside the pocket, extending plays. And like Jalen was talking about, just his aura and his presence, he carries himself like a veteran, and I can say that about him.
Lane, you obviously are coming back from an ankle injury. What have you done to get back to this point, and what are you hoping for these new-look Eagles?
Yeah, I'm hoping for a complete return. I should be fully cleared within the next month, but really had a tightrope surgery and a deltoid repair, so really kind of a reconstruction of my left ankle, but everything's going good. We start OTAs April 19th, so I'm pretty sure most of it's going to be all virtual until we know otherwise, but we're excited about the new coach, Coach Sirianni. We're excited to get everybody back in the building and get this thing rolling.
And speaking of your new coach, head coach Nick Sirianni, he's really bringing with him a pretty young coaching staff. So for you, as a veteran on this team, how do you think that this dynamic might change from seasons of the past to now?
You know, it's different, you know, with the NFL. It's crazy how coaches come in and out, players come in and out. But I can tell you a lot of energy is coming in. I feel we'll get acquainted real soon. But offensively, I know we weren't where we were, where we needed to be last year. And moving forward, you know, we have big expectations on ourselves. We're not where we need to be, and we know that. But moving forward, we're confident with where we're at and who we're getting in the draft and moving forward from there.
All right, yeah, let's talk about the draft. Lane, who do you hope that the Eagles pick with their number 12 draft pick? Or what position, even if you don't know exactly which player?
I don't care who it is. I just want a baller. That's all I want. So I don't know who that's going to be. We got somebody snagging the ball in the end zone.
Well said.
Getting the quarterback, it don't matter to me.
Just want a baller. We like it.
All right, Liam, you don't care who you guys take exactly, but do you care about the 17-game schedule now that you guys have to play?
As long as they have a 17-week paycheck going with it, I think everybody can be fine with that. I know a lot of guys weren't thrilled with it, but it is what it is. Another way to extend the season, but I think they're shortening the preseason from what I understand. So it is what it is.
Want a baller, a shot caller, want to get paid. I love you, Lane. Thinking about your team overall, what do you think is going to be the number one focus for you, you guys both bouncing back, you know, this coming season?
Probably just getting Jalen, you know, familiar with just, you know, being QB1 and, you know, whoever we draft, you know, it's going to be difficult to kind of get the continuity if it's not in person, but you would like to get workouts, you know, before training camp starts, get those relationships built and move on from there. And that's really what it's about. I feel like teams that play the best, that do the best down the stretch are the guys that have the strongest bond and play hard for each other. So that's where we're at. And really, the upcoming months, we're just going to play it by ear as far as what we're allowed to do.
All right, Lane, you have said that in your heart you feel like professional wrestling is something that you would want to pursue. As you know, I put some years in at the WWE. So I'm curious, if you were a professional wrestler, what would your persona be?
There's many avenues you could go down. You could be the good guy, but I feel like the bad guy would be my role, so. I don't know what my name would be. I don't know how that would all play out, but definitely been a childhood dream, something I grew up watching. And just as far as entertainment, something to look forward to, it was something I put a great time in when I was younger watching and maybe doing a little bit of backyard wrestling, but that's about it. Nothing too serious.
All right, you have a finishing move in mind?
I don't know. We're still developing right now. Still in developmental terms.
All right. Well, for now, we'll let you do the moves on the football field. But how is Microband 24 keeping you busy this offseason as well?
Well, as you know, we have this barn. I have lots of guys coming in to train. So Microband is a way to eliminate bacteria, eliminate the COVID virus for up to 24 hours, and it's a way to honor those that are in our communities on the front lines every day. We recognized a woman named Colleen out of Bensalem, Pennsylvania, who's been with Acme for 10 plus years and really just honoring the people that are allowing to kind of go back to normalcy like we had in the season. I don't think the season would have been a success like it has been without the people like that. So teaming up with them was a no-brainer and continue to do it in the future.
All right. We like it. Staying healthy, staying fresh, balling out and getting aid. All right, Lane, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
And as the Masters get underway, there are new revelations about what caused Tiger Woods' single car crash. Excessive speed found to be the cause in the L.A. area crash, as Tiger was discovered to be doing nearly twice the speed limit. No criminal charges will be filed against Woods, who continues to recover from multiple surgeries after suffering serious leg injuries. Now, Tiger did release a statement today, and it reads in part, quote, I will continue to focus on my recovery and family and thank everyone for the overwhelming support and encouragement I've received throughout this difficult time. So with that, let's bring in our favorite golf analyst, Mr. Michael Collins, live from Augusta. And it looks beautiful out there, Michael. But obviously, there's one thing missing, and that is Tiger Woods, obviously a heartbreaker for everybody involved. So what are players saying right now about Tiger's absence?
Well, you know, he was missed the most probably Tuesday night, because that's the Champions Dinner night. And so there were a lot of guys that were talking about how much he was going to be missed at the Champions Dinner, and they thought they might be able to do something digitally with him, which they didn't do. But that was pretty much it for Tiger Woods leading up to this event. Of course, everyone knows that this place is iconic to Tiger Woods, and the last time that he won here, how he won here, the hug that he had with his son Charlie behind the 18th green, they remember that iconic moment. But quite honestly, right now, when it comes to Tiger Woods, everyone is just wanting him to recover and become healthy again, and it's got nothing to do with golf or even him here at the Masters.
Michael, how great was it to see Lee Elders out there and have his and what and his accomplishments?
Yeah, you know, the one thing that I've been saying is it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. So the fact that the Masters brought Lee Elder and had him up there as an honorary starter along with Jack Nicklaus and Gary Player is why I have this hat on, because there was a bunch of people, including Chris Tucker, a bunch of former champions of the Masters, other players, you name it. Everyone was out there to see this historic moment. If you remember why there's 1975 on here, the Masters changed their rule in 1974, and if you won a tournament, that automatically got you into the Masters. So Lee Elder wins a tournament in 1974, and in 1975 becomes the first African-American to tee it up at the Masters, breaking that color barrier. And it meant a lot. Golf has come a long way from Lee Elder to Tiger Woods, but I can tell you there were so many African-American faces. I've never seen that many brothers and sisters up on the first tee here at Augusta National, especially for that ceremonial first shot. Steph Curry and his brand are the ones that came out with this hat, and there was a bunch of them given out to a bunch of people up on the first tee. So you see the 1975 here. On the back, you see the Steph Curry logo and brand. Steph had it on today on one of his Instagram posts. And on the side of the hat, you can see a saying from Lee Elder, stay the course, which basically tells us all, we ain't there yet, especially here in golf. But you know what? We're on the right course. And again, it's never the wrong time to do the right thing. And Augusta National and the Masters are doing a lot more than they ever have before in trying to grow the game of golf, especially in the African-American platform.
Okay. And that conversation really continues to the present day because, as you mentioned, Masters chairman Fred Riley expressed his reasons against calls for a boycott based on Georgia's new controversial voting law. So what is the general sense that you've really witnessed from players and from personnel involved about the controversy?
You know, most of the players out here on the PGA Tour are not from Georgia. So very few of them are versed on the working ins and outs of that Georgia voter law. So most of them said the same thing. I haven't read up enough about it. That's the one thing that I will always give credit to for the guys that I'm friends with out on the PGA Tour. They don't want to speak without knowing everything about everything. So most of them didn't want to speak on this. But I will say this, and this is what a 23-year-old Colin Morikawa, who's one of the favorites this weekend, has already won a PGA championship. Morikawa said this as an Asian American in our society with everything that's going on right now. He was okay with the fact that this tournament's staying here at Augusta, but he wants to have that open dialogue so that everyone can talk about what's going on here in Georgia. And it'll actually bring a bigger focus by keeping the tournament here and making people talk about it. And in that sense, then, you will get more out of having the tournament here than by taking it away. And the thought that that came from a 23-year-old's mouth kind of made me sit down for a minute.
All right, so let's talk about the actual tournament, Michael. Bryson DeChambeau, obviously one of the favorites. How likely is it that he pulls through and wins the Masters?
I'm not counting on that guy whatsoever. You got to remember, Bryson DeChambeau is the one everybody wants to see hit that driver because he hits it so far. But he's also the guy in November came out here and said, you know, this is normally a par 72, but for me, it's a par 67. Well, the golf karma gods kicked him in the teeth for that one. And now he came here this year and said, I got a new secret weapon, a new driver head in the bag. Bryson, you're not supposed to say that until after you win. Mm. Saying it before you win is like being the villain in a movie, sitting down the hero and tying him up and going, and now I'm going to take 12 minutes and explain to you exactly how my world domination plan is going to work and how I'm going to kill you. And in those 12 minutes, the hero is going to untie himself, get up, knock out the villain, and take him to jail. So don't expect big things from Bryson DeChambeau other than hitting that driver. And this place, this course, quite seriously, it's a second shot and putting golf course. Like Rory McIlroy hits the driver spectacular, but the reason that he doesn't do well around here is because his short game in putting. And it's the same with Bryson. This golf course doesn't care how far you hit it. That's not what it's about. It's about hitting that second shot onto the correct part of the green. And if you miss the green, now what do? Can you get up and down to save par? Can you hit that miracle flop shot or make that 25 footer that's got 8 foot of break in it? Bryson hasn't proven that yet. And oh yeah, this is the one golf course where they don't allow players to use those green reading books. Bryson thrives on that book. Mm. And this week, he doesn't have it.
Uh-oh. Villain, good guy. Mike, I'm curious. Dustin Johnson is the reigning champion, but what chance do you give him of repeating as champion?
I give him a good chance, and I'll tell you why. This is the tournament he wanted to win more than any other tournament out there. And now that that weight has been lifted off his chest, he feels like he's playing free. He's got house money. And think about this. Because he won in November, here's how Augusta works when you win the Masters. You get to take the green jacket.
Listen. All right, well, we just lost Michael. But yeah, you can catch him live at Augusta National coming from... Oh, there he is. Michael, you're back. Yeah, we still need to hear your answer.
All that good weather. This, yeah.
You're like a superhero. You just disappear and reappear.
I start telling secrets?
Yeah.
I start telling secrets about the Masters jacket, and they're like, yo, cut the feed. So as simple as this, Dustin has only got to keep his green jacket for about 5 months, right? And so he's going to be thinking to himself, well, that ain't fair, bro. Like, everybody else gets to keep the jacket for a year. Why I got to get mine back? And Dustin now loves this place, and that weight being off his chest, he's thinking to himself, you know what? I think I might keep this green jacket for another year, for real calendar year.
Okay, process of elimination here. Which golfer, not named DeChambeau, not named Dustin Johnson, do you think has the best chance to win it all?
Whew. All right, I'm going to give you three names, okay? Number one, Justin Thomas. Justin Thomas coming off of that Players' Championship win, he loves this place and would like nothing better than a green jacket. Jordan Spieth, who won last week in the Valero Texas Open. And the last time a guy went back-to-back, week-to-week, was Phil Mickelson in 2006. Phil was in Duluth, Georgia at TPC Sugarloaf and then came here and won. But Jordan Spieth loves this place already and now feels good about his game. But the story that I couldn't get out of my head when I picked my winner on ESPN.com was Rocky II. You remember Rocky II? When Rocky and Adrian have the baby, and Adrian's in a coma, and she wakes up, and they hold the baby for the first time, and she tells Rocky, come here, I want you to do something for me.
What do you want me to do?
And she goes, win. Win. John Rahm, I think, is going to be playing Rocky this week. There's nothing he'd like better to do for wife Kelly and that new baby boy than to bring home the green jacket.
All right, and there you have it, straight from Augusta National, Michael Collins' prediction for this year's Masters. All right, Michael, thank you so much for joining us. Please, I'm begging you, please go get a pimento cheese sandwich for me. They're my favorite.
No, egg salad all day.
Okay, all right, all right. We'll have to disagree on that one. But hey, we thank you for your time and have fun out there.